Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time, and today is November 9th, the day after the big day that we've had yesterday. And I did record a supplemental audio just after Pennsylvania declared for Trump yesterday. There was a massive knee-jerk reaction across a whole range of markets, and most particularly, it was the Asian markets that sold off most heavily. But then we could also see the initial signs that they were not holding their declines, and that was quite late here in California, so it would have been reasonably early morning in Asia, and it was well before the UK Open in Europe. Now, what do we have here? And I've posted two charts today. One is the S&P 500, and the other is the S&P 500 futures. And this today was quite remarkable because we saw 1,000-point moves intraday on both the Nikkei and on the Dow Jones. And this is certainly for the Nikkei, it's in the futures market. In the Dow Jones, reversed a 700-point decline to finish up. I give you the exact figure: 253. So almost a 1,000-point move on the day. The S&P 500, a bounce from the region of the 200-day moving average in active trading, but in the futures market, it had traded almost all the way down to 2,000. So that was a substantial move in the futures market. Very much a knee-jerk reaction. What we had was the gold price rallying in a very impressive manner, up over $50 at one point to close pretty much unchanged, and in fact down on the day in here today. And what we are seeing is that the ramifications of a Trump presidency are rapidly being digested by the financial markets. What they are anticipating is that there is going to be a massive fiscal spending spree. Considering how much deferred maintenance there is in the USA's infrastructure, it could quite easily swallow up $1 trillion in fiscal spending and infrastructure spending and still have plenty of work left to do. And it would look increasingly likely that that is what a Republican-dominated House and Senate and presidency are going to attempt to achieve. It also opens up the way for total reform of the taxation system. Of course, they will not be completely unfettered because there is an institutional bureaucracy in Washington and some very strong unions that will really fight the status quo at every opportunity. So, there is obviously going to have to be at least some effort at bridge building. And Trump's acceptance speech was humble and quite out of character with the bombastic nature of many of the speeches he gave during the presidential campaign. So people, I think, are also beginning to take at least some sucker from that. Now, what is it that we are seeing here? Certainly the resources sector stands to benefit from infrastructure development. Copper today was really in robust form. It has now it has continues to have completed type 2 bottom characteristics, and we are certainly getting a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend. It was up an additional 8 cents in here today. The continuous commodity index, though, was in mildly, I think it was, let's just say it was unchanged because it was down less than 1 point, but it certainly did not rally in a dynamic fashion here today. And part of the reason for that is because there was only the most modest of rallies in the energy sector, and the precious metals were not firm. The exception in precious metals was palladium. That was up $13, and platinum was down a little bit on the day, but still trading above 1,000. I used the volatility to exit my gold and silver positions. They'd been underwater, and they'd been a source of personal anxiety for much of the last couple of months. So I will use an opportunity, if one is presented, to begin to accumulate at somewhat lower levels. But I did want to get out of losing positions that were opened up too quickly and perhaps too optimistically back in September. where the really dynamic moves have occurred in trading today are in the bond markets. The long bond is down 5 full points. And that isn't particularly difficult to understand why. For one thing, the long bond is much more sensitive to interest rates. And while there was some, again, knee-jerk responses saying, oh, the Fed couldn't possibly raise rates now that you've had this big dislocation in the markets, I would suggest that it is perhaps even more likely the Fed is likely to raise rates if there is practically a certainty that there is going to be some form of fiscal stimulus embarked upon in the very early stages of a Trump presidency. So that is something we can anticipate. It is certainly something that the bond market is anticipating, that there is going to be an additional supply of bonds. And it is worth remembering that there has been a dearth of bonds overall. That has been one of the things that has helped to support prices at these levels. Now, if there is an additional surge in supply, then the impetus would surely be for prices to fall. So I think that the bond markets will be demanding higher yields overall. And it was an outsized move on the long end, but the 10-year was down just a bit more than 1.5 points. But we're seeing bond yields starting to rise just about everywhere. And this is another another indication that that people really are ticked off with the slow pace of recovery and the unequal nature of the recovery following the credit crisis. And that is true in North America, as equally true in Europe. So there are a number of elections slated for the Eurozone next year, and most particularly France stands out as an area where there is the potential for Marine Le Pen to become the next president. And putting a Eurosceptic president in that Paris-Berlin axis would be another existential threat for the Eurozone. And the primary spot rates, the Euro-dollar, has been incredibly volatile in here today. It was as high as 113 late last night. It's closing out the day actually down on the day and at 109.15. Now, what does that mean? If we look at it over the medium term, there is still a progression of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since the beginning of the year for the euro. And there is increasing uncertainty with regard to the euro. A lot of the uncertainty that has been applied to the US market has now been removed. It is really only a question of what are the policies likely to be, but we kind of know what the direction of the policy is likely to be. Whereas with Europe, we don't even have an idea of what that is. There is certainly an argument for a lower euro overall. The yen was also very, very volatile in here today. It was as strong as 101. It's closing out the day closer to 106. The Nikkei was down 5% yesterday, but in the futures market, the Nikkei is currently up 1,000 points, so back above 17,000. And when we look at what this all means, the dollar has been firm. In fact, one of the only currencies that the dollar has not been firm against is the Indian rupee. The rupee strengthened in here today, and there was a pretty emphatic bounce from the region of the 200-day moving average for the Nifty and for the banking sector. And they are also instituting moves to try and clamp down on corruption by removing some very high denomination notes from circulation. And certainly the nature of the cash business is that it thrives on the ability to move large amounts around in relatively small packages. So increasing the decreasing the availability of high value notes is certainly one way of attempting to tackle that particular problem. But by and large, if the dollar continues to rally, that is going to act as a headwind for precious metals, at least in the short term. There is certainly, because you have political certainty and the potential for the deadlock in Wall Street that has been in evidence now for at least 4 years to stop, then there is the potential that some additional growth potential, at least in the near term, can be unlocked from the US economy. And that is potentially driving the outperformance of the dollar in here. But when we look at various sectors, then there is the potential that reform to the corporate tax structure or the ability to repatriate some of the enormous profits that are being held offshore by a number of Silicon Valley and mega cap companies, and that is also a potential boon for their share prices. There is the potential, so there really is a wide open portfolio of policies that could potentially be attractive to a Trump presidency, and he will be reasonably unfettered in what it can be suggested in here, not least because he isn't really dependent on any particular demographic or indeed interest group. When we're faced with these rather difficult environments overall, then this is a time to really pay attention to the price action, but most particularly to the price action during trading hours when the markets are most liquid. And the relative performance of Wall Street today is really quite encouraging. And there is the potential that we could indeed be entering the third psychological perception stage. That has been my base case for much of the last 6 months, that valuations are certainly not cheap, that if we do get a massive fiscal spend, then the potential for valuations to increase is non-trivial. And therefore, we could potentially move into a more euphoric state overall. That is certainly the case for stock markets, but there is the potential that this could be the death knell for the 35-year bull market in bonds. So what happens in the bond in with bond yields is going to be very important indeed, and I think it's something that we're going to have to pay particular attention to because it does represent a potential problem for other markets, not least because it is so large relative to the stock market. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.